Hi everyone, this is Michael Lee. On this episode of Gondola Live, I am joined by Mitch Davis and Joanne Musa, fund managers of the Tax Lien Fund, which invests in U.S. property tax liens within an evergreen structure. Our discussion covered various topics, including what are tax liens, how the team got involved in this space, the due diligence process involved in tax lien investing, risk factors to consider, and the reasons for creating a fund focused on this difficult-to-access category of the investment universe. Our intent was to share with listeners an introduction to the tax lien category and the factors that make tax lien investing attractive to allocators. As always, we appreciate your feedback and would love to hear your thoughts on the episode.
Gondola Partners is an alternative investment platform for RIAs, family offices, and institutions. All opinions expressed by guests of this podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Gondola Partners. This podcast does not constitute an offer of securities. Such an offer may only be made by means of confidential offering materials. Information contained in the following podcast is not complete and is only intended to provide prospective investors with a basic understanding of the funds and their prospects. There are substantial risks associated with the fund's ability to achieve their prospects, including, without limitation, changes in applicable laws, rules, and regulations, risks associated with the economic environment, the financing markets, risks associated with the fund's ability to execute on their business plan, and target IRRs are not guaranteed. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
All right, well, welcome to this edition of Gondola Live. Thank you so much, Mitch Davis, Joanne Musa, for being with us today and getting into a discussion on tax lien investing, which is a thematic category that the LPs and investors that come to Gondola for deal sourcing and unique deals. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting one. And to get started, I think Mitch and Joanne, maybe Joanne, if you don't mind getting started, maybe just your background and a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you for having me on here today. I started investing in tax liens in 2002 and I was recruited to manage this fund fairly recently. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't have a background in finance or technology. I have other partners in this fund who are geniuses at that. So I leave that to them. But what I bring is the knowledge of tax lien investing and you know, over the last 19 years, my experience and teaching and training others to do it and networking with experts in the field. My story of how I got started is I wanted to invest in real estate back in the early 2000s, around 2001. But I didn't know how back then, and I didn't have the credit. I didn't know how to use other people's money back then. But I read something in books that your listeners might have read, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Multiple Streams of Income. And it just mentioned tax lien investing, but it didn't give any details on how to do it. So the way I learned is I just started going to tax sales. I lived in New Jersey at the time. And the great thing about New Jersey is there are tax sales all the time in New Jersey. So that's how I learned. And then I found out that there were people all over the country and in fact, all over the world who wanted to learn how to do this. And I started blogging about it. I started interviewing experts from around the country. And I started my website, taxlienlady.com. There's a little more to this story, but that's the short version.
Thanks, Joanne. All right, great. Why don't we bring Mitch in here? Mitch, if you don't mind, maybe spend a few moments talking about your background, how you got involved in the space, et cetera.
Thanks, Michael. So Joanne is definitely the subject matter expert on tax liens. My history is in technical entrepreneurship. I've started and sold several companies, one to Microsoft, others in exchange-related areas, and got into this space a couple of years ago working on a platform called the Unique Exchange, which is one of our partners. And the Unique Exchange is designed to automate trading on both the primary and secondary market for tax liens. So that's my history coming into the asset class, and we'll obviously talk about why this is an interesting asset class and why it's compelling for investors.
Thank you, Mitch. All right, so just maybe even taking a step back to the basis of what a tax lien is, for the folks that may be unfamiliar with tax lien investing, or even in its simplest form, what is a tax lien? Let's explain this out. So for an individual who may have never heard of this space before, in its most simple form, what is a tax lien?
Okay, well, counties, municipalities, your local government needs property tax money. They use it to build roads, pay school teachers, firemen, policemen, other civil servants, and, you know, build schools. So they really need that money. So what happens when people don't pay their taxes? Well, in some states, they sell those taxes to an investor, and that's how they can get their money in right away. But not only do they get their money in right away, it gives the owner of the property more time to pay those taxes. Now, if you've ever not paid your taxes on time, you know there's hefty penalties. And that's why an investor would want to come in and get that tax lien and buy that tax lien, because they're going to get those penalties. And that interest, instead of going to the government, it goes to the investor. All right. But it gives the owner more time to pay their taxes. It gives the local government the money they need. And it gives the investor an investment that is tied to the property, because you might say, OK, well, the property owner didn't pay their taxes. Why should they didn't pay it to the government? Why should they pay it to the investor? Because each municipality or county, each state actually, has a period of time called the redemption period, that if they don't pay it within that period, then the investor can foreclose on the property and get the property. So that is leverage, folks, to pay that off. And that's how that's what a tax lien is in a nutshell.
Thank you, Joanne. All right, Mitch, why don't we bring you back in? And if you don't mind, walk us through the basic economics of a tax lien investment.
Yeah, why don't I just set the scene a little bit there, Michael, just to put the macros out there. So about $7 to $10 billion of tax liens are issued annually in the US. It varies depending on the state of the economy. And there's also a secondary market where investors will buy and sell secondary portfolios. And that's about another $18 billion. So we see about a market of about 25 plus or minus billion dollars of tax liens available in the US for investors on an annual basis. Now, as Joanne said, right, not every state in the US issues tax liens, about 32 of them do that. But what happens is that a property owner in the state of Maryland, as an example, is unable to pay their property tax on their residential property, typical use case. So the local government still needs the revenue, right? Because they've got essential services to pay for and so forth. So what they do is they issue tax liens against those properties. And so an investor can come in, buy that property tax lien, and in effect provide a loan to the local government and to provide relief for the property owner. That's what we're doing at scale. And it happens on, as I mentioned earlier, residential properties, commercial properties, industrial properties, and also farms. And so it's possible from a investment strategy standpoint to diversify by geography, to buy across different states because they have different returns, by property type, residential, commercial, industrial, et cetera, and by the class of property, whether it's an A property, a B property, or a C property. And we'll talk about that later in the conversation. But that's kind of the scene setting, right? So the Joanne, maybe you want to chat a little bit about how the interest rates are set and how it functions.
Yeah, and they're very different. Each state has their own rules and their own interest rates. In some states, that is bid down. These are actually auctions. You don't just go in to for the primary market. You don't just go into a tax lien sale and buy it. It's actually an auction. And in some of these auctions, the interest rate is bid down. So the interest rate can vary. Even, and Mitch had mentioned the state of Maryland. In Maryland, for instance, the interest rate is different in every county. It can be anywhere from 6% to 20%, depending on the county. So the other thing about this is knowing where the good places are to invest, because some states are better than others, and some counties, obviously, are better than others.
That's great. So let's take a moment and talk about sourcing. How are you and the team sourcing attractive tax lien investments?
Well, we have a secret weapon. Unique Exchange is one of our partners. It does a lot of research in this area and helps us to be able to bid effectively at these sales. And we also don't only go and buy in the primary market, but as Mitch suggested before, there's also a secondary market. So just for listeners who don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the primary market and the primary market is when we go to a tax sale and buy a tax lien at a tax sale. And the secondary market is when we buy tax liens from other investors who have maybe purchased a lot of tax liens and now they don't know what to do with them. Or maybe it's time to foreclose on these liens and they don't want to do the foreclosures because some investors only want a return on their money. They don't want to take the extra time and money to go ahead and start foreclosure on the properties because quite frankly, only about 1% of these properties are actually going to foreclose.
So you bring up foreclosures and Mitch, you mentioned earlier that tax lien investing or these tax lien investments that could have the ability to provide relief for homeowners. Let's unpack maybe some of the misconceptions surrounding the tax lien space and maybe even address some of the benefits that tax lien investing can provide from a community standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. So the tax liens, again, in the primary market, as Joanne mentioned, $7 to $8 billion issued annually. 70-75% of those redeem within the first 12 months, right? And in a lot of cases, you know, Joanne is buying, tax liens from Maryland or Florida or other states, and they will be repaid within 3 or 4 or 5 months because the property owner, you know, gets the funds and is able to pay back to the tax lien owner, and that gets settled out. Probably 25% or so roll into the second year, right? Because they don't have the financial wherewithal to be able to pay off the tax lien. So we extend, in effect, the loan. Now, a penalty comes into place in that case, typically. And so that allows us to increase our yield on the fund. So those penalties happen. And then the third scenario, which is what Joanne's referring to, in less than 1% of cases, those properties go into foreclosure. Because the property owner is unable to meet their financial requirements. In that case, the fund has the ability to monetize on the repossession of the property. And so return yields vary across those three use cases. So we might see 6 to 11%, maybe 14% on A-grade properties, you know, that are redeemed in the first 12 months. We might see 18 to 24% penalties come into the second year, and in the case of a foreclosure property, your yield is going to, you know, drive up to 300 or 400% potentially. But in the aggregate, our investment strategy is to have diversification by geography, diversification in terms of the property class, and diversification in terms of A, B, and C grade properties and where those weightings are. And so to hit our guaranteed 6% and our target yield of 14%, Joanne, I think, you know, the balance from a property allocation standpoint is 20% Series A properties, 40% and 40% for B and C. And that drives our yield targets.
Okay, thank you, Mitch. Joanne, it looks like you wanted to add to that.
I just wanted to piggyback on what Mitch just said about that. We also change our strategy with the markets. Yep. Things change in the markets. In the beginning, we did maybe less of C properties than we do right now, because right now we're making them more money on those type of properties. So we allocated a little, we changed that allocation a little bit. So that does change according to our strategy does change according to the market.
Yeah, and there's, you know, a lot of work and analysis goes into identifying the properties within the local county that we're going to bid on, right? So we will look at local market conditions. We'll look at the lien to asset value ratio. We'll look at the demographics in the market. We'll look at the tax lien history on the property. We'll look at 8 or 10 data points in order to say, okay, these are the specific properties that we want to bid on. They correlate and match to our investment strategy. We're comfortable with the risk profile on those properties, and then we'll go to the auctions. As Joanne mentioned, right, we'll either be in person for those auctions to bid because that local county or that local government is not automated, or we'll use the unique exchange platform that has everything automated so that we can run our trades both from a primary and a secondary standpoint through that platform. So that's how we execute, and that's the kind of analysis that Joanne and her team are doing.
So great. So closing the loop on the purpose of tax liens, obviously, A, helping local governments, and then B, there is a secondary benefit that is involved here, which allows taxpayers or delinquent folks that are delinquent on their taxes, it gives them more time to pay their tax. And without this, maybe the local governments would foreclose at a much quicker in terms of time, more quickly.
Yeah, I think yeah,
that's just adding to that, if I can, the states that do not sell liens, they just sell the property right out from under the homeowner.
Wow.
So, okay. So you know, a lot of people think that they have a negative connotation with tax liens, and they think it's hurting the homeowners. But in actually, it is much better for them than the alternative. The alternative is having their house sold right out from under them. And I just want to add one thing that I tell people, you think that you own your property. Once you pay off your mortgage, you think that your property is yours, but honestly, you rent it from the government. And if you don't believe me, just stop paying your taxes and see what happens. In some states, the government can just sell your property right out from under you. But in the states that sell tax liens, it gives the homeowner the opportunity to come up with that money.
Okay, so shifting gears here just a bit into actually why the tax lien fund. So you've mentioned unique exchange, and investors have the ability to go on unique exchange and purchase individual tax lien investments in a pretty simple way by utilizing the technology and the platform that was built. But let's talk again about the fund. So the fund is designed to build a diversified portfolio, from what I expect, and that diversification comes across geography. So whether that be Florida, New Jersey, Colorado, Maryland, Illinois, but diversified across geography, diversified across the instrument. So mostly tax liens, but even a tax deed here and there. And then furthermore, and finally, diversified across property quality. So whether grade A, B, C, which we've talked a little bit about, and the interest rates that are associated with each of those properties. So the tax lien fund, as I understand it, is providing this diversified exposure, whereas unique exchange, you can purchase individual tax lien investments. I think from the advisors, consultants, and allocators that we work with, that diversified approach makes a heck of a lot of sense. But back to the question, let's talk about why the tax lien fund.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, what we saw with unique exchange is that there's a set of investors, institutional as well as individuals, that like the asset class, are willing to do the work required to be prudent and careful about where they're investing and how they're investing. And at scale, you can get that level of diversification. There's a lot of other investors that don't necessarily have the time or the inclination to do the work in order to research the properties and ensure that they're getting the right target returns and diversification. And that's where the fund comes in, right? We saw significant demand and interest in the asset class, and we thought that we could establish the tax lien fund with Joanne and her team to do the work, to be able to target the strategies that you need to get that 14% target yield, to be able to do all the work on a property by property basis, to be able to execute at a very high level in a secure way, in a diversified way, to minimize risk and to hit those target returns. So our team, right, Joanne and her analysts and backed by the Unique Exchange, have those resources, do the work, and are able to execute effectively against the investment strategy.
Thank you, Mitch. Going back to ABC Properties. We've mentioned it a lot. Mitch, you've mentioned it. Joanne, you've mentioned it. I've mentioned ABC Properties. I want to make sure that we're very clear on what exactly ABC Properties are. So let's just spend a moment going into that.
So, I mentioned earlier, right, there are different classific types of properties that have tax liens associated with them, whether they're residential, commercial, industrial, or farm properties. What we saw in the data was that it made sense to classify those properties according to an A, B, and C grade. A are the best properties, right? The lien to asset value ratio is high. That would be, as an example, a property in Tampa, Florida, residential, maybe value $500,000-$600,000, but the tax lien is $1,300, $1,600, $2,000, somewhere in that ratio. It's a good market. Comps are very high. There's almost zero risk on buying a tax lien on that property. So that's a high grade property. Might be somewhere between 6 to 10%, but it's a very secure investment. A B grade property, you're going to see a slightly lower lender asset value ratio, but a higher yield on the tax lien. The market conditions in a B grade property will be not at the same level as the A's. And similarly, when we move down to a C grade property, we might see that property has a $1,500, $2,000 of tax liens, but the property value might be $60,000 or $80,000, and there might be 2 years of tax lien history on that property. So it's got a different risk profile to your A and B properties, but the yield is higher accordingly, right? So that yield might be 14% to 18% on year one tax lien. Penalties might be 18% to 24% in the second year, and it's probably got a higher probability of going into a second year on the tax lien. So your returns might be north of 20% on that property over a 2 year basis. But it's got a riskier profile. So what we do from a data analysis standpoint is that we run every property that's going into auction at the primary market or that is in the secondary market through the filters. We then categorize them A, B, and C. We look at the yield and the returns on those properties, and then we profile them according to our investment strategy.
So how are the tax lien interest rates or yields paid? Is that a quarterly distribution?
Yeah, I'll take that one, Mitch. It is different in different states, and you don't actually get paid on a tax lien until the property owner decides to redeem it, and that's when you get your money back. But how the interest is accrued is different in every state. So in New Jersey, for instance, and in some counties in Maryland, they might accrue it daily. But in most places, it's going to accrue monthly. And in some places, it's a straight penalty paid on the certificate amount, on the back taxes and penalties that were assessed the owner. In most cases, it is an annualized interest rate.
Understood. So in bringing this back to the fund picture, so the tax lien fund LP, we've already talked about very low correlation or uncorrelated to sort of traditional markets. So a nice portfolio diversifier backed by real estate. All great. Investors continue to look for areas for yield and income, and this seems like a category that would fit the bill. So from the fund perspective, can we talk a little bit about what the fund yield could look like? And obviously these are targets. And as you construct the portfolio, what are you looking to achieve?
Yeah, sure. So the tax lien fund is targeting 6% annual distribution to be paid quarterly. That's locked in. The target return for the fund is 14%. We expect to hit that 14% number based on the investment strategy that I talked about earlier. It's diversification across the different property types. It's diversification in terms of A, B, and C properties, and diversification geographically. But that's our target return, 14%. But what's guaranteed is 6% paid quarterly.
A question that we always get, and we'll definitely field some of these questions on the tax lien fund are what are some, especially in a category like this that may be a little bit nascent for most investors that we work with, they're curious about the risks that could be involved. So when you think about tax lien investing and from an overall portfolio perspective, obviously there's some diversification, but what are the major risks that you're looking for? And then also investors should be considering when they're making their decision on whether or not to make an allocation.
So remember that it's backed by the real estate. So when you buy a tax lien, you want to make sure that that you're buying a lien on a good piece of property, whether it's a residential property or a commercial property or vacant land. You want to make sure that the land is buildable. So this is stuff that we do that Unique Exchange and our team does for us. And sometimes if I'm going to a live sale, I would actually physically go look at the property to make sure that it is what we think it is. But that's really the major risk that's involved. Are there other, there's always something that can go wrong, and I don't care what investment there, if you're getting a high return investment, there's always a little bit of risk that you have to take. And sometimes more than a little bit. With these unsecured investments, there's even more risk. This is, you have real estate backing it. So the first risk is that the real estate isn't worth what you're paying, right? But when you're buying a tax lien, the other thing that we use is the lien to value ratio. So the value of the house has to be a lot more than the money that we put into the lien. But what people don't realize when they buy a tax lien is they also have to consider the subsequent taxes that you're going to pay over time, or in the case of Florida, when you actually, when the redemption period is over and then you pay the subsequent taxes, you have to also take that into account and any other expenses that you might have. So that's also something that we do. I don't know, Mitch, if there's anything else that you want to add to that.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Joanne. In effect, look, I would put it this way. When you're investing in tax liens, you're really investing in the underlying real estate. And so the amount of due diligence we put into determining what are the right tax liens to buy is almost the level of due dil that you would do in buying the underlying property. So as Joanne says, you want to make sure that the property is as presented. We do the background research. Our team does all the work. And that's the principal way that we're eliminating risk from the portfolio. Other than that, it's about the things we discussed before and having proper diversification, having sufficient reserves in place so that you can cover the interest payments when the tax lien rolls into the second year and so forth. And then being opportunistic in terms of secondary portfolios. Because those portfolios will trade, and knowing how to price those portfolios at a discount so that we can hit our target returns and so forth. So there's a lot of work goes into it.
How active is the secondary market, and who are the typical buyers and sellers? Is it institutions or is it other governments? How active is that market?
There is a pretty big secondary market, and that's because there are, here's another reason why the fund is a good resource for individuals who want to invest in tax liens. This is not the best kept secret in America. There are banks and hedge funds involved in this because they, you know, back in 2008, in the last really big bust that we had with the stock market and the real estate market, these hedge funds were looking for other places to invest. So we had even more hedge funds come in and more banks come into the business of tax lien investing. So this is a way that the average person that has the money to invest and wants to get into it can get into it. But one of the biggest sellers in the secondary market are these hedge funds. And some of them, quite honestly, are trying to dump their not so good liens and try to sell everything in one big portfolio. So you do have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. And so they're basking it up. They're basking it up a portfolio of liens that they want to clear off their balance sheet. Are those secondary sales like in traditional private equity Are these secondary sales, when they make these sales, is there a discount associated with that sale?
Sometimes, but most likely not. When these hedge funds sell them, by the time they discount it because they can't get rid of them and they're not really good liens. When they first sell them, they try to sell them at redemption value or at premium, which is even more than they're worth right now. And the reason they do that, because some investors will want to foreclose on those properties. But the caveat is, the problem is that, again, only 1% of those properties are you actually going to get. So some of them are going to redeem. And as soon as you start the foreclosure and threaten a foreclosure on a property, people are going to come up with the money and redeem.
Sure.
If you pay premium and then start the redemption process and then it redeems, you can lose money if you don't know what you're doing. So that's why you want to have either the right advice when you do it or work with a fund like ours that does that for you.
Yeah. So we have certainly seen, Michael, a number of secondary portfolio trades where the opportunity is good, right? So we had one example in Florida where the portfolio owner was solely concentrated in Florida, had only A-grade properties. It was a very good portfolio. Now, their motivation to sell part of that portfolio was that they wanted geographic diversification. So we were able to pick up a very strong portfolio of A-grade properties in Florida and enable that investor to then geographically diversify. But as Joanne says, you've just got to be very thorough in terms of reviewing the properties and making sure that you can cherry pick the best, the good liens that fit to your criteria and don't take it wholesale.
Great,
yeah,
thanks
for the question. Oh, I'm sorry. Just wanted to jump on what Mitch said. I think we've had some very good luck buying from individual investors who are selling, who sometimes let us cherry pick and who are selling some of their portfolios just because they bought so much and they don't want to foreclose on all of them. Or because, as I said before, they really invested for the return on their money. And now that it's time to foreclose, they don't want to deal with that part of it. So they just want to sell. And we've been able to get it at a discount sometimes.
In talking about the tax lien fund, it looks like target return, somewhere around 14%. Obviously, returns are never guaranteed, but that's the target. And the distribution to investors is 6% locked in. It's an annual distribution. Is that paid quarterly in the fund?
Yeah, it's paid quarterly, Michael.
Okay, so 6% annual distribution. I believe that offline when we were discussing that will begin in January of 2022.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and taking subscriptions and investor capital in on a monthly basis, monthly valuations. What are we missing? What else? Is there anything else that we should be covering? And we'll open this up, obviously, both Joanne, Mitch. What else should investors understand, or what would you like them to take away from this podcast?
Well, I think you covered the key aspects of the fund. That it's a perpetual fund, quarterly payments on redemptions, 1.5% every quarter. That target return is 14%. The fund is active. We are investing, and we're looking to grow the fund so that we can take advantage of opportunities, across the tax lien market, which are pretty interesting because I think the conditions are very, very strong for tax liens, right? Because property prices are increasing across the board around the US, and that is making tax liens even more attractive because of the lien to value ratio that Joanne was talking about before. So our sense is, and the data really supports this, this is a great time to be investing in tax liens. And our goal is to simplify it, make it easy for retail investors to come into the fund. We're doing the work, we're managing the funds, and we're handling every aspect of the investment. So I think the conditions for tax liens are very, very positive over the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, that's great. And I think the purpose of these these interviews and these podcasts are to give investors a little bit of an overview of a particular category. And I think we covered a lot on tax liens today. But as all of our listeners know, and I know in speaking with you, Joanne, and you, Mitch, widely accessible. So for folks that want to kind of dig deeper and have questions that result from this call, I know that you guys are accessible, an accessible team, and always willing to speak with investors. So I think this has been a great overview on the space. And as time goes on, we'll have more interactions with prospective allocators that would like to dig a little bit further in.
Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Michael.